Hello and welcome everyone to another week of What Do You Know with Joe. I don't know why I'm talking like that, but let's get to the intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind stuff now.
It's What Do You Know with Joe. Hello, and as always, welcome back to another week of What Do You Know with Joe. I've got Bax, I've got Winnie, Lindsay's teaching, Lori Beth Denberg is still on his extended vacation. Hope everyone's doing well. Thanks for coming back. I have a real great week. I got to speak with some people very close to me and people that I look up to. My father, Carmen Cafiro, who I see as a mentor, and my two uncles, Matt Cafiro and Mark Cafiro. It was really cool to speak with them. Not only got to hear some cool stories about my father and my uncles, but learned a lot about my grandfather and my great-grandfather, who I, you know, didn't realize, but I was much, much more like both of them than I thought. And it's really cool to hear a lot of the stories and hear, you know, even little things about how my grandfather acted in social settings or how my grandfather, you know, was meticulous about things. It just helps me in some situations know that, oh, that's maybe where I get that from. And it's cool because it makes me want to, you know, speak more with my other family just to learn more about not only them, but myself. So I really, really am excited for everyone to listen and join in on this episode. Stick around afterwards because we will be doing post-pod talk, but it's just going to be me this week. No worries. We'll have more guests on next week, but post-pod talk is going to be super fun. Excited for everyone to stick around and hear that. But with that, we'll jump right into this week's episode. Hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to What Do You Know with Joe. I have a very exciting interview today because it's with people that are very close to me, someone very close in particular. Today I have my father, Carmen Cafiro, as well as my two uncles, Matt Cafiro and Mark Cafiro. Guys, how we doing?
Good, good. Actually, I don't know how excited you'll be by the end of this call, but we'll see.
This might end our relationship, Joe.
With each other or Joe or both? It could be both.
That's all good. Glad you guys could come on. I'm very excited to have everyone. This is also the first live interview for the podcast. I'm sitting here with my dad, and my Uncle Mark and Uncle Matt are connected via telephone. Technology's come a long way, but I'm sure we'll get into stuff like that. But don't want to beat around the bush. We'll kind of jump right into it. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
I'm doing great.
Doing good. You look great.
Today.
You look great. Your elbow looks... I don't know if you guys saw this. My dad had a little fall, and his elbow is the size of a watermelon. It's pretty big. We'll have to send a picture.
We're good.
Yeah.
No, send a picture to the ladder.
You didn't tell him?
Uncle Mark knows. I didn't tell Uncle Matt yet.
Oh, yeah. We got to send it. It looks like the Hulk smashed this ladder, and it looks pretty rough, but I didn't know you didn't tell Uncle Matt
yet. It looks like your bike after I used it one time, Mark.
It definitely looks like it got run over. But as I mentioned,
he's not laughing.
He still has feelings about that bike.
Let it go, Mark. Let it go.
People don't forget. Dad, you're retired now, but you've worked for so long. I'd love to learn so much about it, and I'd love to learn just all about it. So, from the beginning, you know, I know you did financial management, but you didn't always start there. From the beginning, tell me a little about your work experience and how it kind of helped shape some of the things that got you to where you were.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that was easy. No, whereas obviously I started working with Papa, you know, mm-hmm. in wallpapering and paper hanging, family business. You know, he started with his father and Uncle Matt and Uncle Mark, that's what they do for their careers now. Fortunately, because, you know, learning that skill in trade, first of all, just, you know, lets me do stuff. You know, saves money when we're doing stuff around the house and doing stuff like that, and mm-hmm. you know, appreciating, you know, manual labor, being a blue collar person, but also it allowed me to pay for college, mm-hmm. which you could do back then, and you didn't have to pay for it at the beginning of the semester. I remember I used to make my last payment right before the semester ended so I could register for classes for next year. But it was different then.
I remember that too. Dad's pocket. That's another show, Joe.
Oh, I know. I used to send letters saying I need money. I was in college when I went away that one semester. You know, I think every once a quarter I got $10. So,
wow.
Right? Right? And that was
$10?
$10. Hey.
So when I got my license, I said I wanted a car. He said, open the back of newsagents. All the cars you want.
Right? Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. You know, that's quote unquote.
But actually, right? Question to you guys. Was my dad always the work first kind of guy that he's not necessarily, hang on, my dad is definitely not work first, but was my dad always, especially after that,
it
definitely doesn't sound like my dad was always work first. I mean, it definitely sounds like
he's got a lot of Neapolitan blood. Work is a painful necessity.
I love doing nothing.
Yeah, dad got the luxury of maybe not having to do 100% all the time because he's got a brain that maybe will pick up the slack, you know what I mean? Is that a compliment?
I don't know.
That was a backhanded compliment. Let's go back to the blue collar comments. So, you know, like your brothers and sisters, right? Everybody in line, you look at somebody and say, you know what? They really don't need to study all the time to get good grades.
Yep.
Yeah. That was like your dad to me and my relationship with him.
Those guys are the worst. Like that guy. So envious.
Yeah, he's like that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I got to put my nose to the books, you know, for many hours, get a decent grade.
Right.
Dad was more like, yeah, well, guess what you're doing, and then knock it out.
That's true.
You're one of
but
those.
He also graduated that time, and you know, college degree opened a lot of doors. Didn't matter where you went, what you got. It's a whole different world today.
Now it's different,
You walked out with a college degree, and they opened up a job.
Right.
I begged to get passing grades sometimes as well. I just happened to go into computers at the right time. No one knew anything about that, and I got lucky with that. Now I probably couldn't get a job anyway, but who the hell knows? Yeah.
Part of it was timing and luck because you always had
all about choices,
figuring out things and numbers because you always had those games magazines.
Remember Games Magazine? Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, and you would always, you'd always get the games and you'd go through them religiously. And so you always had a mind for like trying to figure out the computers right up your alley. So when it came in time where they just took off, it was like you were right place, right time as well, too.
All right. Well, you guys, I owe you money after this.
Right.
We're not even drinking now.
It sounded like you guys worked a lot, especially. I'm assuming Papa wasn't, if I had to guess, Papa wasn't the type of guy that let you guys have a lot of free time in summer. You guys were doing a lot of work. When did you start doing hanging wallpaper, whether it was outdoors? When did you really start going to work, especially, like, you know, especially with Popeye, I can imagine.
Well, we started early.
I
went to work when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, nice. I remember being...
Right, well, I begged him to hang my first strip of wallpaper at 17, and he did let me do it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. But I also worked on the weekends at Uncle John's gas station.
Yeah, you were a worker, Mark. Mark always worked.
I literally worked nonstop.
Yeah, Mark likes to work. Not likes to work, but Mark, you need to work, but you like to be busy.
Yeah, I like to be busy, but then I didn't have a choice because then Uncle John would hire me and then Grandpa would make me cut the grass. And I always had money in my pocket, but it was like, all right, now I'm getting tired of it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. And it wasn't really an option either, right? It was like, you're going to work. No, okay.
No, it wasn't an option.
No matter.
So one time your father came home from, we were out all night. The sun was out.
and Carmine thinking that
Dad would be understanding. Let me walk in, half in the bag, and say, listen, okay, sun's comes up. We meet him in the driveway, pop in the driveway. Paul's walking to go in the house. He goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going into the house. I just got home. Oh, no. Get in the car.
Sounds about right.
He slept all. Oh my God!
Oh no, I worked with Richie. I worked with Richie Mantovani that day. And I remember it was an office in Manhattan, and I remember laying on the table the whole day. Richie was good about it. I don't know if he told Dad that. I was out.
Yeah, but he slept in the car, and Oh, he slept in the back. It was a station wagon. He could sleep on. He slept in the back.
Oh yeah.
And Papa had the lovely pleasure of he would get gas in the morning and leave the door open.
Yeah.
So you'd get that nice cold air coming in. He would always do that, just on purpose.
Yeah.
To make sure the cigarette smoke on the ride in. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The cigarette smoke in the car while
he was ruthless when it came to work. He was a sweetheart of a man, but when it came to work, he was tough.
That's the way he was raised too. So yep, continued on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that was the way he taught you, though. It wasn't like, it was like lead by example, not by, it wasn't like coaching. It was really like,
no.
You know,
he was tough.
Yeah, if you did something good, you really didn't know, you know,
yeah.
You didn't say anything. If you did something wrong, yeah, you were an asshole, but yeah, otherwise, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't mean
that. That was his favorite word.
Yeah, right. Asshole. Yeah.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Right. I remember I worked one day. I was working at Colonial. Remember Colonial Oxmore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and,
By the ramrod,
and they gave me a. Wow, that's a whole nother story. That's another story. But they only had a bundle of fabric and it was really tight. And I remember calling Mr. Douglas, and Mr. Douglas was pissed. He goes, "You got to get the." It was because that was it. They weren't getting it anymore. So I remember I was so proud. I measured it out. One of the few times I did that kind of thing, I measured it out, and I got it all done. I called Mr. Douglas, and he was like really happy. And he was like, "Oh, thanks," and everything. He was like, "So." And then on the way home, I remember telling Dad, "I go, yeah, Dad, I was, you know, I measured everything out. I got it all done. You know, we didn't have to order anything more." He was really happy. And Dad goes, "Bosses are always happy when you save them money." That was it. That's all he said.
There you go.
That was it.
You know what? That's a great statement.
Right? Yeah.
That's true.
That was it. I'm like,
true.
Okay. You know, but you know, you got to work hard. And this is what you're supposed to do. It's not like you don't get a trophy for doing good work.
Right.
You know, you got to do good work. That's it.
You're supposed to do the right.
Yeah, like I tell my kids, there's no B plus in life. It's A plus or you're fired.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
You want a cookie? Go sit home.
What?
What
do you want? A cookie?
Right. Exactly. Nah.
How many jobs did you guys say you worked on together? Like how many?
A lot.
Would you say you guys worked collectively as a whole well, or would you say because you guys are brothers and
terrific.
I could just, like?
Terrific.
No, we got.
Would you say would you work well, or were there definitely times where maybe if there were problems it made it easier?
I don't remember fights on the jobs.
No, we never. No, I think if anything, Dad maybe got it. No, he wouldn't get upset, but we were always laughing. Who was on the job? Remember when they were working in that one room, and I guess I'd maybe gone out the night before or ate something, but had really bad gas.
I was there. Joe, we moved a piece of furniture away from the wall, right? And your dad's behind a piece of furniture on all fours, right? And all I see is his shoulders going up and down, laughing hysterical, trying to keep it in. And as soon as he let go, the woman walks into the room, and I look at her face, and all I see is your dad on all fours, trying to keep. You know when he gets so red in the face from laughing, and tears coming out.
Like he's doing right now.
No, I was dying.
She abruptly walked out of the room, and I just couldn't hold it in. I just laughed. I was like, "Oh my god."
that was bad, and that was bad. I have to say that.
We did a lot of laughing.
It was on a vacation when we worked together.
It was. It was great. That's why, like, when we went to college,
you'd
be tired, right? And after a week, he said, "I'll help you out this summer." So he came up. I said, "Absolutely. I look forward to it again." Yeah, so they both came out one day. Dad came out a couple of days, and Uncle Mark came up a day, and we worked together again.
So
we're going to do it again next year. Yeah.
I think you sent me a picture. I think you got my dad when he was changing.
Yes.
And all I got was a picture of my dad in his underwear next to a bag of Skittles. And I was like, it looks like it's going well.
Listen, nowadays with cameras, I'm on a lot of people's
pictures.
And then
your mom was like, "What are you doing in your underwear?"
They get more of a treat in the summertime.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, though. And then I sent a picture. I think I sent it to you guys, but I didn't realize Chris was on, my future son-in-law. He was on it too. He saw that, this? Welcome to the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm hoping for a bag of Skittles for Christmas, and maybe a package of Tommy John underwear. Who knows?
There you go.
You don't want to do the cruise show, Joe. We'll stay off of that.
That's I forgot about the cruises. Oh, geez.
Yeah,
we'll get to the cruises. I've heard. I've
that was going to my grave.
I've heard bits and pieces of the cruises, but
nah,
I'd be curious.
I can't.
On top of that story with that lovely woman, and actually I should say unfortunate woman for having to walk in on that. Would you say there was definitely a time where like either you saw my dad and like either emulate some sort of characteristics that like he definitely has now, or would you say there was definitely a time where, like, one, you saw him either take authority and was like, okay, wow, like, he has that mentality, and that's what maybe either made him switch to, you know, go down another path, or maybe there was something you saw, or do you just have a story where your dad, or with my dad, where he was working, and either it was with my papa, or, like, a story where he was, like, a high-end client, and you just, and it was, like, either, like, a mess-up, or a story where he maybe really, like, emulated a characteristic for a while and never knew my brother could do that?
Yeah. Cutting suede short.
Mark, that's the one that came to my head. I wasn't there, but I remember that story.
Oh, boy.
So cut suede shorts?
No, it's sad. Me and Carmine for that.
Oh.
And we're hanging all just real suede.
Well, yeah, you have to provide some context. So suede is very expensive wallpaper, and it's
really
52, and it's 54 inches long, and it's very expensive, and, yeah. You know, and it's a
no
big
mistakes.
Job. Yeah. So, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
You took control, and we measured the wall, let's say it's 8 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was 8 feet, we really cut it. It was supposed to be 9 feet, we cut it 8 feet. So we cut the hanging the whole room. Oh, it goes, oh, God. So we proceeded to piece it. You can't, it's like,
you can't piece it together.
No, but I remember, but Dad, he would measure a piece. And go, nope, and throw it out the window. Not the window, but the door.
Oh.
And you get another piece. And you go, nope, and throw it out the window.
So
and each time,
say,
he
okay.
got more and more pissed. He was like, oh, that was, I'm like, this isn't good. This, I just wasn't going to say anything. I'm not, just, you know. But, you know, we do good work. It's just, that was, you know, everyone makes mistakes.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no. Not
you
many
know.
Jobs.
We're all humans.
Once in a while.
As long as they're not operating people or fly airplanes, mistakes are okay.
Yeah.
I would say those are some professions you cannot. Yeah, that's a big.
But
a big
no,
problem.
It was. No, I mean, with yeah, I mean, although you guys got great careers and you do good work, obviously. So no, Dad was a. The reason, like Dad was a, he was an artist. I mean, he was, you know, he had an eye, and he, you know, he had. I think because of that, he had a certain standard that you was almost impossible to achieve. But he taught you those things, and that's why you guys successful too. But I. You know.
Yeah, not as close as him. Never will be. Like,
yeah, he's right. He's still the best I know. That's for sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
the
only thing I remember walking down, I think it was like 5th or 6th Avenue, right? It was like 98 degrees, and he always had to carry pay store bundles from job to job, and I had two 5 gallon buckets of pace, which weigh about, I don't know, how much do they weigh each? Right?
55 pounds.
How much? 55 pounds, right? And then we're walking, and Dad was walking, and I'm walking with him. And I was like, I think that was at that point, that's when I was like, you know what? They go, I'm not going to do this for a career. I said, I can't do this when I'm 50. I said, I definitely can't do this when I'm 50.
Yeah, well, try doing it when you're 60.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we like clear hang, though. It's a lot lighter than play base.
Oh,
yeah.
No, this is a solid.
I don't blame you.
But,
I get it.
Yeah, but that's.
This has been replaced for bad phone connection.
Who was that? Who had the? Who was the guy who Dad used to work with that had the accent? Who was?
That? Yeah, the.
Well, Jimmy McNeilis. Remember, he was the Scottish guy.
Oh, Scottish guy. Then.
Who the hell knows what that guy was saying?
The Spanish guy. Raul.
Yeah.
The taxi cab driver.
Yeah.
But you know more than that.
He flipped over his car, Joe. He flipped over his car in the FBI drive one morning.
Bob
literally flipped it. And came into work, and he's all frazzled.
Apologies again. This has been replaced for bad phone connection. It was a live call. Apologies for that.
Oh, I gotta go to work.
No excuse. After that, you had no excuse not to show up.
Well,
yeah. That's the type of guy he was. He was a worker. He came to work, but flipped the car on the. It was on the truth.
Right.
Came to work.
Yep.
Probably climbed out of the car and just went to work and didn't wait for at least to come.
Well, back then, who said you leave the car there? They took his number to him.
No.
Oh, we can talk about banding calls with Uncle Jimmy.
Really, oh, boy.
What would you guys say is probably the biggest change from, like a workplace mentality or, like, a workforce? Like, what would you guys say is the biggest change you've seen from, like, today's day and age workers to when you guys were first starting out? Regardless of industry, what would you say is, like, the biggest thing you've seen?
Nobody has fun anymore.
No one has fun.
Well, yeah, there's no fun. It's not about fun. I've seen a lot less like teamwork. Especially say like in Union Manhattan work, it's not a team anymore. Where Papa was doing it when he was younger, and also they got into it for a reason that they wanted to, and they became mechanics, you know, like an artist.
Right.
Whereas most people now, it seemed like they started getting into it years ago because it was almost like a default. Like, all right, I got nothing else to do. Let's go try to hang wallpaper and learn a trade.
Right.
And they don't trained, and so it's really they don't have the same desire why they're doing it, and. Yeah, that's really what I think is the most. And like the other thing, like I said, was Papa had friends that we all knew, guys that he worked with. They were friends, but they were workers too, co-workers, because we would hang out with their families because they were like a team and they were more like a family. They were tight union guys.
Oh,
nowadays you don't really get that.
No. Even in the corporate world,
honestly, after we're gone, it's over. It's gone. There's nobody doing this stuff anymore.
No, and even in the corporate world, it's like that to a certain extent. But you know,
yeah,
I mean, especially, it's well, a couple of things. But I know when we first started, it wasn't as very cost conscious, if you will. Not that we made a lot of money in my company, but it wasn't like so you probably were a little more relaxed, so you enjoyed the work a little bit more. But then also, you didn't have to worry about people are like, well, were you. Do we have enough headcount or do we have not too much headcount for work we're doing?
Right.
And everyone's looking at numbers and are you producing certain things? And I mean, there's good parts of that, but it's all about how you manage it. And if you don't do it right, people just, A, you're not going to keep talent, and B, you're going to, you're not going to enjoy what you're doing, I don't think. So I think it's the both, no matter what. Yeah. Work is more work now. Even though you get better benefits in the corporate world, work is more work now than just like a... And they talk about work-life balance, but I don't know how true that really is. You know what I mean?
So you think it's probably more society issue than really just a workplace issue?
Yeah.
Specific to each, different work, labor. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. And I think once I became more of a manager than what they called an individual contributor...
Uh-huh.
These are all the terms you had too, right? So then you realize more about that, and you're like, "Oh boy, okay."
It's okay for companies to be cheap now, whereas years ago you had to be, businessman lunch. You had to spend money to attract the individual. Now they're like, "Okay, you go to food trucks on the street, like there's carts on the street. Never used to be people, businessmen working there, eating lunch.
There's a lot of guys out there.
It's line of office workers like."
Yeah,
I've eaten here too. This is our lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah. No.
Honestly, it used to not be that way.
Yeah.
Never.
And now, a lot of times, corporate eat at your desk. Well, I remember always. Yeah. Well, we only when I used to work. I mean, you only had a half hour, right? You had to bring your lunch, and that was you had a half hour, and that was
half
it.
Hour. That's it.
That's it. How much was that? But now it actually in the corporate world it was even worse. Again, the type of person with it. But I used to eat at my desk and used to work. Eat while you work.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy and it's not the right way either. But, depending on if your company's going through, tighter times or more commercial times or, a lot of change, reorganization and stuff, then that's just what they fall into. And unfortunately,
it's funny because I would say, for my generation coming into work, that mentality you said, Dad, of you're working all the time and even on your lunch break, that's all I like. My first job, I remember that was the first thing, or what we people normally did because they were just like, it's easier to work at my desk and eat my lunch because then I can just get more stuff done. And I still think there's a mentality of, hey, I want to leave by 5 or 5:30. That's why I feel like sometimes people want to eat their lunch at their desk, but they also do it like. They know that the work is like the most important thing, and that they have to get the work done, and that still takes them priority.
And then you get in the car and you're answering emails on the weekend. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, you guys run your own businesses, so you get that full.
No, but I'm saying business guys, even these guys. I see with Justin, they get emails on the weekends and nights and stuff. It's like never shuts down anymore.
Oh no, not with working remote. Yeah. Forget about it.
You're doing a lot of work over in Asia, so you're always around the clock.
It stops.
No.
I see it like the change in Goldman Sachs working there. They wouldn't give you water. Honestly, all you got was water. You had to pay for soda and all that. Now with the COVID luring everyone back, they have food trucks every week now. They have free soda and candy on the counters. Never had that.
Oh no, they have these snack rooms that are supposed to make motivate you. Right? And like, I don't know if that really
does.
You
know what motivated me? The elevator going down. Going home is motivating.
Right? Well,
it leads me to another question. Would you guys, especially like with, I assume the answer is no, but have you ever, especially in like working, have you seen anything like COVID from like a parameters and like a, not like just any perspective, like from, has there anything been anything like COVID since you've been working or that you've seen like throughout time?
What was the question again? I couldn't get disrupted. Like, would so you, was there anything like COVID?
Would you,
what?
Like, have you seen anything like COVID before and like while you've been working, even like from those early days with working with Papa, like, have you seen anything like COVID and do you think like there's anything going to be something, what do you think it's going to be like after COVID?
Oh, well, 9/11 was pretty impactful.
That was impactful, yeah, for yeah. Right, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
That was short.
That changed a lot of, right, but it changed a lot of the way things were done in the city as far as building security and all that. That then sure. became crazy. Right, so it's a different aspect, but it definitely did put a huge change in how things were done all around Manhattan, mm-hmm. anywhere, obviously, around the world. Mm-hmm. But
it brought people together more than COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think 9/11 brought people together. Where I think some of the aftermath of COVID is you're not seeing that, right? I mean, because I was in Manhattan on 9/11. I remember watching that the whole thing from an office, right? And afterwards, just seeing. Well, yeah, actually, we went down to there was a bar in the building. That's where we went, like at 10 o'clock, and it was open. Yeah, it probably was. I honestly hate to say it, but it was probably one of the best days that guy ever had in that bar, business wise. Right. But you know, again, everyone was together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, now it's you're seeing, you don't see that in this case. And I don't know if that's just something else besides COVID, but it's it's just how people think about things and how they're reacting to this, mm-hmm. Tragedy as opposed to the other tragedy. But yeah, it's
right.
Again. Yeah, it's a different dynamic, I think, with people. More. So, that's a big part of it. But, go ahead.
No, you got it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but the other thing I think this helped me in the corporate world, too, though. Remember when being I think, Mark, you were talking about it, but being a blue-collar worker and just how certain people treat you. I mean, you got treated like shit sometimes, and there were people who really treated you like a human being. Right. And first of all, it made you appreciate that. And I think that's how you treat, I think I treat some people a lot. I treat blue collar workers here a lot better than some mm-hmm. other people who still know the same thing. But I mean, it just made you appreciate that, you treat people a certain way and that it should carry into anything. And it just you'll be fine. Yeah. The people will work for you. They'll respect you. First of all, they like working with you or for you. So that was, I think that was a big thing being a blue collar work that I really learned.
Also the guy showing up who's putting your driveway down probably has a house on the water with a Bentley in the garage, and you don't know that.
Right, right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
That's the other thing.
Really not. Yeah, exactly.
So you don't know.
Right.
He's not going to show up with his family, though.
No. Yeah. Playing Frank Sinatra in the car.
Yeah. Quick, write me a check. Yeah. You got any money, kids? Quick, write me a check.
Write me a check before,
before it goes up, the price goes up. Anyway. It definitely was a cool transition, though. But Grandpa and Mom, they always wanted me to go to college.
Yeah,
they encouraged that.
Mom was a big
college. I'm a grandfather, and I still see a lot of those old you guys, Joe, and like he would be amazed.
Oh,
I'm happy. I always think of him because he always talked about that he wanted his. The reason he came here is like he loved education. He really, really, and appreciated it.
Yeah.
So to see like his great grandchildren doing what they're doing, he'd sit there and say it was worth everything he went through.
He was an immigrant, right? So that's why he did it.
So
that's why he did
it. Never, ever forget. That's why I say to you guys, never forget your roots. Because what he did, he didn't do it for us. He wanted to do it for us, but it's hard. You don't transition.
Your whole family behind, right? Imagine doing that. Yeah, leaving everybody.
But he knew that his, two generations away, here you are. Look at you guys. Like, nothing. It's fantastic.
Short amount of time, but at least now, right? He would say, well, I made the right move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
To never ever have to live the way he lived with, back then. It was horrible. No, not to worry about money, but worry about food and work and housing. That's
right.
Gone. You guys never have to worry about money again,
Right.
Honestly.
It's a whole thing. God, he did it.
Well, don't tell
him
that.
That's why he did it.
Don't tell my kids that.
But that goes back to where, what's that?
Don't tell my kids that.
That's funny. But that's where that work mentality comes from, like you were asking Joe about, you know, where, like, Papa, was he always wanted you guys to work and what? That's where he got it from, obviously, because his father said he's got a third grade education, then he comes over here, and he knew he had to work just to make money. So he always
had that work.
There
was work to do. If there's work to do.
That's what that problem trickled down to us and everything, yeah. Right.
Exactly. And there wasn't work over there, so to have work.
No. That's it, yeah.
Well, it definitely makes me, I mean, that you said, don't forget, like, you never really think why you act a certain way or, like, why the traits you have are a certain thing. Like you guys were saying, I never really think, like, my mentality when I go to work, a lot of people might probably don't agree with it necessarily because they're like, Joe, working? No way. But it definitely, like, that mindset of, like, if there's work to do or, like, even if I don't know something, I'm going to just give it my best effort, and if there's work to do, just do it. And thinking, right. Like, you know, you don't really think of where that comes from, but, you know, you can hear it goes generations back to my great-great-great.
Right. Right.
Yep. No, it's true.
But you also have a good work-life balance. You appreciate both. That's right. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to have. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
A lot of people
that's
don't.
That's true. No.
Yeah, so that's a nice thing to possess, and so, especially at a young age, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't work too much or don't do anything.
Well, we made Joe cut the lawn.
Yeah,
there
right.
You go.
That's what it was.
They cut the lawn.
Hey, welcome to life.
So I guess what would, if you each want to tell one, that's fine. But I guess what would be your favorite or one of your top favorite memories of working either together or for like a really, really fun client? You don't, if you can't disclose names, that's totally fine. I totally get that. It's happened on the podcast before. But if you could think of either like a time where either you're working with, you know, all of you guys together, or if you were working, or like just had like a time where like you thought about working with your brothers or a papa or someone that you just like remember really specially. Or really fun. Special. Either one works.
I mean, there's numerous. I know there's numerous ones. But I always remember the time. Remember the night we were working over at Hammock or Schlemmer? Were you there, Carmine, on
where?
That one? What? Hammock or Schlemmer in the city?
Oh, that's not that place. Say that name,
Uncle Pat. Yeah, oh, so we were with Uncle Pat, Peter, maybe Michael, Dad.
Yeah, I don't think I was on that
and
one.
And then they had like a display, I think, of a mannequin, maybe like a surf display, you know, and a surfboard and everything. He's got this blonde wig on. So then Uncle Pat comes out of the dressing room and he's got this blonde wig on. And when you see Uncle Pat with his blonde wig, we just turn around. You're just like, hey guys, and we look. They're like, ah! Every time I think of that image, it just cracks me up. And I get every once in a while, you'll get a Hammock or Schlemmer magazine come in the mail, and I'm like, oh, I just got one. Every time I
lost my ass, I just told Dad, I go, how did Uncle Pat say this? He used to swore that word.
Right.
Funny, we worked out on
57th
Street, still never forget.
And then
you're
so
funny. Yeah. That's a good
story. Uncle Pat was always famous for it, especially if you worked at someone's house, no matter where. All of a sudden, he'd be like, do you know what they pay in taxes? They'd be like rifling through their papers to know how much they
make. Right? Yeah.
Right?
The one time he comes in, he goes, you got to see this guy's landscaping bill. I'm like, what's going on in the file cabinet over there? I'm like, what do you mean?
That was the guy. I'm not going to say where or when, but I remember. I call him Google because he looked and found out everything. Yahoo and Google, he knew everything. And rather than just, now I Google my clients.
Yeah.
Like, right. He would have
loved it. Oh, boy.
I remember the guy. He's like, you know what he pays for that car in the driveway? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. He knew everybody. And you hear Father Dad, I'm Patsy, where are you, Patsy?
Yeah.
He knew everything. He got everything. He loved it.
Oh, yeah. But they always laughed. No, they were good. Dad was great at that. But
working for the Islanders was a great thing.
That was the best. And that's when they were winning Stanley Cups.
So my favorite story was working for the Islanders with Dad. Two was who's the guy? All right, so here's your sports article. The guy who won the gold medal.
Morrow. Ken Morrow.
Ken Morrow. Yeah. Right. The 1980s Olympics. You want to say?
Yeah.
Nice guy, but the personality of a brick. Right.
Yeah. So he showed me. You want to see my gold medal? I never forget that. That's the first only time. He showed me his gold medal, and the other was Clark Gillies in the summer.
Yeah.
And he had the kegerator in the
keg. As soon as you walked in the foyer.
Like, he had a keg in his foyer.
Yeah.
And he would sit on the couch and watch sports. We were sitting there one day, and he goes,
and he loved his bag of Oreos. So I guess they went to total waste like during the non-season when it wasn't prime season. Yeah. And he's like, I'm working. He goes, Mark, sit down, relax. You want an Oreo? Thanks, boss. You want a beer? Just relax. And he's such a
They were the nicest guys.
But remember, the closet. You used to go in your closet.
Finished the whole house and everything. He got a huge. He barbecued for everybody. So he got all the work crew. Everybody, come in, come out now. We're all gonna go out and eat. Yeah, he just cooked a nice huge all steaks and everything. It was great. So nice. They were fantastic people.
John Tinelli. Dad really liked John Tinelli.
He loved John Tinelli.
Yeah. They did love Dad. Yeah.
But I remember going in their closets and you saw all their different jerseys. I mean, from All-Stars. From whatever games they play.
Oh, yeah, like colleges, back home in Canada and all. Yeah, really.
Yeah, that blew my mind. Yeah. I like that they were regular people and they didn't like, you know. And then the other one I was never, the best story I remember was we worked, Mike Ford lived in.
I was going to talk about that.
Sansone's Point. And we were doing his house. That was cool. And he had all the baseballs downstairs and stuff.
He had a Cy Young. He had a little bar, right?
And he had them screwed into the ceiling.
Yeah, like a 1960 style type of bar, but he had the Cy Young behind the bar. Screwed into
really? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very cool.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for me, that's the first, I recognize like one of the sports guys I recognize.
Right.
And we're working, and we're going to the sunroom. We're doing the sunroom. And we're moving the furniture, and he's like, this guy's like an idol for everybody, right?
Yeah, at the
time, this is, all the pot pipes fell off the top. I remember we're moving the cabinet, and Whitey Ford was in the room. And we pulled back, and all the pipes bolted. And you're sitting there, and I remember like the impact of that. Like, here's this guy who was like kids fall asleep dreaming about this man.
Right.
Thinking that he's like next to God in heaven, and you know, I've got some. Lose a dirtbag son, you know, can't even get his shit together and smoking pot in the room, you know.
Right.
At the time, that's what I felt.
Yeah. Right,
right. Yeah. That was my biggest regret, but lesson when I worked with him, because remember he had the old Cadillac, the DeVille? What was the one?
Yes.
Yeah, so he was like, oh, man, come on, we'll go get lunch. So I'm sitting in the car with Whitey Ford. And I'm like
I know, right?
Dumbstruck. I have no idea what to say to this guy. And I didn't say a word the whole time, back and forth. Wow. I think I asked one thing about where we live this summer.
You had the chance and to talk to him and you blew it.
It was my biggest regret, but I learned, that was my lesson. That's why I always tell you, ask Joe. Yeah, I always tell my kids, ask people anything. Right. Or just say something. Like, I'll see people with a shirt, like a check shirt or a school shirt, and I'll say something, and they're like, why are you saying that? You're embarrassing me. But I said, you always got to talk to people, always ask them something.
Yep,
and that was the reason why I do that, because I didn't tell them my biggest regret. Yeah.
Didn't get a selfie with him, Com?
Yeah. Okay.
How would you
that picture be worth today?
I know.
Sitting next to,
love that picture.
Oh, my God.
That'd be great.
Right? Right?
That's only one thing about it, I have to say. This is the best stupid job in the world. I relaminate sheetrock for a living, is what I really do.
Right.
With expensive materials. I resurface sheetrock, and... You meet stupid people.
You meet a lot of people.
Oh, boy.
That's true.
Which is crazy. Right. I mean, that's a great story. Why are you for?
Yeah. I didn't know that one. I knew you worked there, but I didn't know that.
Oh, you know.
He lived on the block.
Again, a little bit of scratchy audio here. Sorry it got in and out, but fixing it with this.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a Campbell. That's not a nice Campbell.
I mean,
do you guys have any questions you want or anything you want to say? I mean, this is usually the open floor part.
I was gonna ask. Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead.
No, you go first.
Maybe I want to ask Joe. Yeah. What's either your fondest memory, sad, happy, or maybe of your dad you have? What's a good one?
Fondest or of my dad?
Yeah, fun one, or just the best memory. That's awesome. Yeah. Like, that's cool. That's my dad,
There's a ton. You know, my dad's the kind of guy too. And
a ton of sad ones.
There's a ton of those. There's a ton of especially on TV consensus. I have a lot more, you know, happy and, you know, fun memories about my dad than obviously sad ones. They're still sad ones. The ones that stick out to me for sure, and there's not like an exact one, but I can think of probably 10 to 20, 50 times where we've gone somewhere and someone's just been like, hey, Carm, how you doing? Or, hey, Dad. Uh-huh. And, like,
all the time.
My dad just seamlessly knows everyone. And I just don't, I don't get it. Like, I don't know how you, and it just, especially now that I'm growing up, it's because my dad, I know my dad's just, you know, he's not afraid to say hi to anyone. He strikes up a conversation.
That's it. Yeah.
And it's a huge benefit to do that. It's a huge asset to say hi to people. And so, like, when I think of my dad, I always know he's the guy that knows everyone, and that's a great thing, because, one, he's a great guy to know, but, two, it's also because, it's just because he puts himself out there, and he's not afraid to start up a conversation. I think that's where a lot of where I get it from, for sure. I've definitely heard, from a lot of different people that I'm a lot like my dad, but I think that's where I get my, not fear of talking to anyone or asking anyone, just because I probably saw him do it so many times.
Like that guy in Italy.
We are in Rome. Okay, here's a good example. We are in Rome, Italy, another continent. We are not in the same state. We're on the Spanish Steps. Oh. We're sitting at the Spanish. I'll tell that story next. We're at the Spanish Steps, and all of a sudden, I hear someone go, "Carmine," and I was like, "I mean, we're in Italy. That's a common name. It's like hearing like a John in America. I feel like so." Sure enough, it's someone who literally, like, I went to high school with, smallest world, sees my dad, and I was like, of course, like, a continent away. My dad just knows everyone. But another very fond moment we all had with my dad, it's a really funny one. You guys might have heard the story. We went to Italy. We're going to meet with my dad's
Marcello
and Rosaria. We're going to pre-meet them in the hotel lobby before going to their house for dinner. So we're looking for Marcello, but we don't know what he looks like.
I never met him.
Neither does my dad.
Saw pictures, but
I assumed my dad knew what he looked like. I figured the way he walked up to this man. So my dad finds someone or sees someone he thinks is Marcello, and he goes up to him, and just like you would greet anyone with family, he gives him a big old hug, gives him two kisses on the cheek, gives him a big hug. But this guy's like, no, I don't know who you are. I mean, like, he kind of like accepted it, but it was like, I'm not. And we're all dying. Like, you can imagine my brother Carmine, he's crying in the lobby and just like laughing. And my mom's, of course, getting the one chance to see my dad. Like,
that's hysterical.
And he just, I mean, sure enough, I bet you if my dad saw that guy now, he'd be like, hey, aren't you the guy that kissed me in the Excelsior Hotel? But at the same time, too, it was just so funny because, like, that's the exact thing I was saying. Like, my dad, like, he's not afraid to put himself out there, willing to, meet someone. And it's, it's just a funny story that happened there. But again, it just goes to show, like, he's not afraid to try something, or he's not afraid to, talk to someone. And that's a skill and a value that I hope I pass to my kids, because it's so valuable just to, you never know who you're going to talk to, and you never know who that person you're starting a conversation with will be.
Yeah. Right.
That was fun.
That is true. Everybody. Somehow, some way, we're all connected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing. That's what I tell the girls all the time. Yep.
Yeah.
Once you start talking to people, it's amazing how.
Oh, yeah.
And they hate that. And I tell them, I go, it's a small world.
Oh, right, right. Oh, it's a
small world.
Wow. Well, yeah, people love talking about themselves.
Like that too. He's embarrassed. And all you have to do is start talking about themselves.
Yep.
You
that's know, all. And let him go.
Right.
Just let him go.
Yep.
Boom. Just let him go. Like, one time I'm with Jordan and we're in a parking lot, and this guy pulls up with a beautiful Ford pickup truck. I'm just getting milk at like a 7-Eleven. And he says to me, I go out, and I say, oh my God, it's like a young 20-something-year-old kid. I go, that's a beautiful truck. Holy, Dad, you got to say something? He goes, you like it? So I'm showing. He goes, yeah. So he goes, well, my father works for the Ford plant in Edison, New Jersey, at the time. He goes, he works at the Ford plant. You know what? He's got these vouchers they give him every year, like 7 family vouchers. You go into any Ford dealer, they'll give you 7 vouchers if you don't pay any markup. So you can't take one in case you
want to
buy a Ford. You go, see, Jordan?
See?
That's why you do it.
Why you do it. Yeah. Well, it's really, the weird thing is, it's not why we do it. That's like when you talk about your dad before, just meet people. Right, he puts himself out there. I go, you put yourself out there not to, it's like almost altruistic, where you're just doing it because it's fun to do, it's nice to do, and it's good to be a good person.
You're just being a nice person. Well, I would think we
just
are.
Just being a nice person. And you're not doing it for, like, incentives. You're like, well, what can I get out of this guy?
Right.
And things come along the way, and you do get perks from just meeting and talking to people, and that's a good thing, but it's not the reason for it, people know that, and people can read that, too. They know if you're UPS artist, are you just trying to play me?
Right.
No. Like, just a nice guy, and so when you're real and true, people know it.
Yeah, yeah. Authenticity comes.
When you appeal to, you ever that movie Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Right.
That movie is so true, because all you have to do is attach yourself to somebody's personal life or feelings.
Right.
Like, I'll walk into buildings sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to get in with security. And I'll walk in and go, hey, good morning. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Wow, how's everything? Wow, you're looking great today. You bullshit the shit out of them. And you say that. You go, oh, where's service? Around the corner. Listen, I'm running out. I need coffee. You want a cup of coffee? That guy will do anything because you appeal to them. You
well,
know?
Like we said, it's right. treating people with respect. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Right. That's it. Right. You know, a cup of coffee goes a long way. You know, and it's true. It teaches you that it's good to be that way.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And it's fun. It opens up a lot of doors.
Mm-hmm. It does. You know, it's fun.
So. And back in the '80s, it also got you.
What?
And that brings us right back to the cruise.
Oh.
You talk to the opposite sex, it got you, you know.
Oh, boy.
Good conversation. Anyway.
No, we need Kevin on that call. If we're going to do that discussion, well, we need Kevin.
Kevin will never do that.
Yeah.
All I have to say to Kevin is, and I'm going to get off, I'll say, Kevin, mother and daughter, and then walk away. And let him go. That'll be the mother and daughter conversation, Joe.
Yes.
Oh boy.
A couple of Heinekens.
Last part, that's bad audio. Sorry.
Because it's gonna be. Right? Kevin's got a lot of good stories. And we got a lot of good stories with Kevin.
Wow. Oh yeah.
He does have good he's got a lot he's got a lot of good stories.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's Anyway. So what would I ask Joe? Interesting. What would your takeaway be, Joe? Like where would you seeing like your roots, like where did that impact you now and in the future, like with your kids?
I definitely think
look at Joe getting interviewed.
Right? It's the flip. I'm getting flipped. I would say this sounds pretty like stereotypical, but now that I'm definitely married, I definitely am seeing a lot more of like, okay, how is my dad, like, as a husband, and, like, you know, how does my brother act? How do the people before me act? And I definitely see it coming out a lot more now in, like, figuring, especially, like, this first year of marriage, figuring out how to not only be a good family man and a good husband, but, like, balance everything else in your life to make sure everything else stays afloat.
Yep.
And I think that, I think a lot of, you know, I look back to all the examples I've had and what to do and maybe what not to do.
Okay.
That's part of it, though. Yeah, that's part of it.
That's the other biggest lesson I'm learning is that you're never going to have it down pat the first time, and it's an evolving process. Right. But knowing that
process. Don't just do it twice.
Right, exactly. I think that's I think that's where I'm seeing a lot of my roots come out now, in that, you know, I'm definitely acting like, you know, how my dad would act or how you guys would act or the people who came before me setting the right example.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take what he's done and put your twist on what you want different. Right. Which is good.
Take the mark out of it, make it a little better.
Well, that's really what it is. People will say you're smart, or people will say you're a genius. I'm not a genius. Scott's a genius, but people say you're smart, or do you know? All a genius is, or someone who's really smart, is they're smart enough to learn from their mistakes and they don't do it again.
Right.
Really what a real a smart person is. That's all. Because you're gonna screw up. It happens. It's all right.
Yeah.
You know.
You're smart when you know you don't know, but you know how to find out.
That's the thing. You know and you know what you don't know. That's really the key to it.
Figure it out.
Yeah, and find the best people that'll do that for you, and you're good.
Yeah.
That's how you build a team.
You know, like, I'm almost in the same boat as you. You know, like you, said, you were as a child and your father's son, learning all that. Like, that's what I got from these two guys too. You know, like I was able to be the young one growing up watching them two make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, yeah,
how are you going to get married by Papa? Or, you know, you know, it was just learning from them too, and then they got married and were fathers way before I was, so then I learned also from them. So I was lucky like that I do have good influences to learn from. Yeah. So
Papa
thank
was
you
a great
guys.
Husband.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
He was the one guy I always told I always told Lee, I said, whenever you're on a job, you go there. What do guys do? 99% of guys, they just sit there and badmouth their wives. And they just sit there like, what is this about? I go, Dad never badmouthed.
I never heard of
him. And I don't think it was because I was there. It wasn't his personality. He's like, I'm not going to live with this woman full time. Then go out and just badmouth
her. Right, exactly.
Why be great?
That's one thing I think that has not changed. And, like, I can definitely relate. Like, I don't find the need to go out and do it. I just don't get the point of it. I just don't, like,
me neither.
Because then I'm just speaking out my, like, if I'm actually miserable or something.
Right.
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 Oh, I'm going home to the old lady. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's the same old joke. Like, I gotta go home.
Yeah.
It's like, don't you want to?
Right.
And you know how to get the ball.
Right.
It's that simple. It's your fault now you're in that situation.
You don't think she feels the same way?
Right.
Well, that's like, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, going back to what you were saying, Matt, you never did what we did. I remember, it reminded me of a story. I remember when I came home and mom and dad go, "Where's the car?"
I was upset. I heard this the whole conversation.
I got to ride home. They go, "Where's the car?" And I go, I don't know. I really don't know where it is.
See, it's quite. I can't imagine if I ever came home and didn't know where the car was. I would be too afraid to. There's no way. How do you lose a car? How do you lose an automobile?
I had a friend with you.
I did. Yeah. It was at Burke. It was like at Burke or Chico's house or Hergie's house or something like that. But I totally forgot where I left it. I really don't remember. They always bring that one up.
That was at Burke or Chico's house.
Burke or Chico. Yeah. Nothing good started with that.
That's a funny story.
Last thing I want to ask you guys for sure. What's one thing you would definitely, and you may not, it may be something that they already do know or don't know, but what's one thing that, like, your children, like me, Marky, Julia, Eve, all them, you know, what's one thing I would definitely think you would, you know, let them know that you may not have directly told them, like, you know, either about work or just like, you know, a piece of influence that you'd like wanted to bestow that you never really got the chance to just say, "Hey, maybe try this."
Cool.
Yeah, you got to answer too.
Let me get my phone. Where the hell is my phone? Hold on, please. What do you want?
I'm trying to find my phone.
How are you talking to us right now?
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, Joe, answer. Repeat that again. I was interrupted.
We got some birds here. But yeah, no, just what's one thing I think you may not have directly said it to your children, but you know you wanted to, or like you hope they picked up on, that, you know, is either like a work trait or just something that you know that kind of like my dad's Whitey Ford story, just like something that you would want them to know or you would want, you know, them to do because you know it'll make them successful.
Oldest,
I got a deep last question.
No dead air. There's no dead air.
I said, let's go oldest to youngest on this one.
The only thing we talked about this though, but yeah, I remember, and you guys always used to say, you know, I really don't know what my father does.
I still don't know what you do. I still could this day just couldn't put a.
And I think my, but I, it was, I don't know. I don't have a lot of credos or peeves or whatever, but. I just always said, I always remember said, and I think maybe I got this from dad too, but I never, never bring work home, you know, when you get home, that's, you know, that's a whole different thing. You know, you had a bad day, you had a great day. I mean, you can talk about great days, but if you had a bad day, no one wants your family. You don't want to bring that to your family. They don't want to hear. I mean, if you need someone to vent to, but I never felt like it was bad enough that I needed to, you know, let my kids know that I had a crappy day. You know, I might talk to Kathy afterwards, whatever, but I don't think I ever brought my work home, and that was.
You know what? Now being retired, seeing it from now, that's it. Work didn't deserve to ruin your home life. It doesn't deserve it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. It has a place. It's important. It pays the bills.
Right.
But it shouldn't get the credit of coming home with you.
Right.
It doesn't, you know? Yeah, like you say, you put it behind you. You know, I've learned that now. You know, at this age, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Really don't. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. You're right.
Yep.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe will know more about what I did at work if my statistics worksheet works out for betting. Then we'll know. I got the under I got the under on the Rams. Seahawks tonight.
He's very excited. Oh,
statistical analysis.
Parlay. Now you parlay.
Parlay. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Justin parlays it. Uncle Matt, now Uncle Mark, what do you say? I think FanDuel is somebody parlays it, right?
Yeah. They do.
They allow you to do it.
But anyway, go ahead. You were going to say something else.
I was going to say, did you have, Uncle Matt, did you have some?
Getting back to that question, yeah, I think it would be like never dead end a problem where if somebody comes up to you and you've got a problem. I told all the girls this because we used to get aggravated going to, it was just as simple as going into a supermarket and I would ask somebody, say, yeah, there was something we were looking for. And they just go, yeah, I don't know. And you just look at them. And you're like, all right, but then what's the follow-up? So I would leave, and they'd be like, I don't know, and then we're left to go do it on our own. So I'd always have a conversation with Julie and me and Eve, tell them, girls, never say, I don't know, and then leave it at that. Be like, I don't know, but let me look into it, and I'll find out for you.
That's
that's part of being in the service industry, but that goes everywhere, too. Be like, I don't know, but I can find out. Good. You know, go the extra mile, they always tell me. Go the extra mile.
Right.
But because that drives me nuts. I go, that's just right there. It just exudes. That's just screaming laziness. I go, no, I don't know. Yep, and then walk away. You know what I mean?
Yo, absolutely.
Yeah, Matthew did teach me a lesson. Matthew taught me there's no problems, just situations.
Yes, right. That's a Jamaican thing. There's not a problems. It's not a problem. It's a situation. No,
there are situations where they can be worked out. I saw using that, and it's true.
Right.
The problem is if you're dying or you got that.
Yeah, those are problems. That's problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. But that's a real that's a problem. That's but a other problem. Things are just situations have to be resolved. That's all.
Right.
And I tell people, I use this on people sometimes when things go bad on the job. It's just a situation we have to deal with right now. And they do. It does take the breath out of them. They're like, all right, you're right.
Well, that was that. No, at work when I became a manager, I would say that people used to. I told people, look, I have an open door policy, but if you have a problem, that's fine. I'm going to hear it. But you, when you come to me with a problem, if you want to complain about something, have a solution or an idea you think to how to fix it. Don't just come in and complain. That doesn't solve anything.
Yep. Again, that's being lazy.
Yep. You're like Ted Lasso. My door's always open.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Great show.
Ted Lasso. Yeah, I gotta
watch that. It's great. I've got
nothing left. I mean, unless you guys got anything left, this was fantastic. Thank you all for joining and helping me out with this.
That time goes fast. I didn't realize. It really goes fast when you're talking, man.
It really goes fast.
We started this at
noon. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
How fast that goes. But thank you both for
joining. Is it an hour already?
It's an hour. Exactly, right? You just get to talk, and that's the best part. You're just talking. That's the best part about this. So,
and we didn't even have any drinks.
No, I know. Now it's allowed to happen.
Right? Next time.
Yeah.
That was great, Joe.
Yeah.
Really great. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, as always, that was super duper fun. I had a lot of fun doing that and enjoyed the conversation with my dad and my uncles. I think it's so cool, and I feel even more lucky that I'm very fortunate to have a cool story of my family coming from Italy, both sides, my mom and my dad's side, coming from Italy and being able to, give a better life to their family or try to give their family a better life. And it's not so long ago that happened. You know, I think it's cool that if for history, the Kafir name will be on Ellis Island, and it's cool to have those pieces of history, I think, just to think about and not necessarily use as motivation, but don't forget necessarily your roots and why it if you ever need an extra strength of motivation, use that potentially. I might think to myself, well, my great-grandfather came to this country to give me a better life, so even though I'm very fortunate in the life I have right now and, the things I'm accustomed to, I can't forget that, someone worked really hard for me to get here, and I can't forget that. So I think it was really, really awesome to speak with them. I learned so much about myself. I'm really hoping my cousins in Italy, my family in Italy, both in Rome, Naples, my mom's family, if they're still there in Sicily, very hopeful that, they get to hear this podcast. I would love to honestly have Sasha and Sal and all those guys on, as well as Rosaria, Marcello, everyone just come on, and it'd be a lot of fun. But again, I really encourage everyone, if they have the fortune capability like I do, to speak with friends and family, those they grew up with, and just learn not only about your family, but yourself a little bit. It's a lot of fun. I know there's a lot of people that do that, and that's really awesome already. I think you're a step ahead in that you're, trying to learn about yourself, but also your roots and, where you came from. And it definitely means a lot more now, thinking there are definitely, on top of my parents, there's people that came before them too that, did what they did to make sure I was successful. And I think not only do I need to maybe remember that in certain situations, but I need to start thinking too, hey, I want to do something, or it almost motivates me to want to do something so gratuitous or so of the same level for my future can two gen or three generations down the road, just because I know that's what my great grandfather tried to do for me. So I'm very excited about that. It was a really cool experience. I encourage everyone, if they have the fortunate capability to do it, to go out and just speak with your close friends and family. Next thing we're going to do is jump into SWPAF. I'm arguably everyone's favorite portion. Sports, weather, arts, politics, finance, basically the news, all the stuff everyone's itching for. So we'll jump right into it. We got a lot of sports. So basketball is back. WNBA just finished up. NBA basketball's kicking right off. Had some games last night. We had a couple games, like the Lakers and Warriors. The Lakers lost to the Warriors tip-off night, and the Nets got, I don't want to say spanked, but they lost to the defending champs, the Bucks. Last night, we had some close games and some high-scoring games. The Hornets beat the Pacers 123-122. Sabonis had a last-second shot. Tough shot, but, you know, it's a tough game that Melo looks really good. LaMelo, I shouldn't say Melo, because there's probably a audience out there where if I say Melo, they're like, oh, it's only LaMelo. But, like, my generation, when I say Melo, it's Carmelo Anthony. So, moving on to the next one. Bulls beat the Pistons 94-88. Knicks won in double overtime over the Celtics 138-134. Wizards beat the Raptors 98-83. Grizzly beat the Cavs 132-121. Minnesota beat Houston 124-106. 76ers beat the Pelicans 117-97. Magic lost to the Spurs 97-123. Jazz beat the Thunder 107-86. And Nuggets beat the Suns 110-98. And the Kings beat the Trailblazers 124-121. I don't know. I feel like a couple of those games are like super high scoring. I don't watch enough NBA to probably give that take. So I should probably keep a mouth shut on that. But I don't know. A lot of those scores seem kind of high. But who am I to judge? So tune in to the NBA. It's just getting kicked off. I'm trying to get into basketball and educate myself about not only just the NBA, but WNBA and women's basketball. Women's college basketball is about to start kicking off in November. I'm a huge ECU football, baseball fan, and I love, you know, Coach Dooley's doing okay with ECU men's basketball, but my goal for like the future, what I'm trying to do, is make sure I know the ins and outs of the ECU women's basketball team just as much as I do the men's team. I really want to, you know, see how we're doing in recruiting, ranking, who's, you know, getting, you know, pulled, who's getting, you know, transferred, what we're doing. I 100% want to get into that. So that's my goal for sure. But moving on to other sports, Astros win 9-1 and they lead the series 3-2 over the Red Sox, and the Braves beat the Dodgers 9-2. The Braves lead the series 3-1. NHL, like we mentioned, the NHL hockey is back. And as of last night, there were only a few games, but the Flyers beat the Bruins 6-3, and the Golden Knights lost to the Blues 3-1. A lot of sports coming at you there. Like I said, great sports, a lot going on. We don't have any Wilder or Fury fights this week. UCF's probably coming up, but I need to learn more about UCF, so we want to get that going. Manchester United came back and won 3-2 after losing, or after being down 2-0 in the UCL. Cristiano Ronaldo, beautiful header at the end of the game to make it 3-2. More to come on soccer. I need to definitely get some soccer takes in here as well. But we're going to go ahead and jump into the next portion of SWPHF, the weather. It's starting to get a little colder. I'm sure everyone's noticing. It's starting to get a little bit colder. It's that time where it's like, you know, 40 degrees in the morning, and then it's like 75 in the afternoon. So you have to be a little cold in the morning right now until the afternoon catches up. That's kind of what we're feeling here in the Virginia area. But kind of moving to some national news, it looks like the Pacific Northwest and the Rockies could be expecting some snow this week/weekend. So excited to, you know, get the first fallings there. I'm an avid snowboarder. Love cold weather sports, so that's always fun. And then what else is going on? Some worldwide news. Japan's Mount Aso, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Hopefully I am. The Mount Aso volcano erupted, which don't know more than that. Gonna need to dive into it, but I want to share with the people that, hey, Mount Aso in Japan erupted. So moving on from weather to the arts, we got some new music dropping. I'm sure as everyone heard, the goddess herself, Adele, blessed us all with another song, Take It Easy on Me. And she is releasing her new album, 30, November 19th. I, again, encourage everyone to listen to Adele. Adele's just, you know, like I said, we're very lucky to have Adele. But, you know, a couple other things. Album's dropping tomorrow. Wale is dropping Florin 2. Big Wale friend. Lana Del Rey is dropping Blue Bannisters tomorrow. Sorry if you guys hear the trash trucks behind me. Elton John, surprisingly or not, is dropping The Lockdown Sessions tomorrow, will be released. So check in there. And then Ed Sheeran will be dropping the Equal Sign album, which I believe it's called Equal, probably Equal. Ed Sheeran will be dropping that October 29th, so check that out. Some other, you know, artists that, you know, other people may or may not know, either A, that I listen to, or B, are interested in, didn't think Joe's going to provide that insight. Diana Ross, Thank You, dropping November 5th. My House by Diana Ross has become one of my newer favorite songs. So it's a banger. Moving on there, Jason Aldean, dropping Macon on November 12th. Taylor Swift, Red, Taylor's Version, November 12th. I'm sure everyone's excited about that. And that is what we're going to do for music this week. But we do also have art festivals. I'm going to do art festivals that are local to my area. And I encourage everyone to look into the arts in their area and just could be something fun to do. I've personally never gone to one, but who knows? I think it could be something fun down the road one day. But there is a Smithsonian's Craft Show in Washington, D.C. on October 23rd. There is the Armenian Art and Food Festival on October 23rd in Old Town Alexandria. The Urbana Indoor Art and Craft Show in Frederick, Maryland is October 23rd. And on November 19th, the Gaithersburg Holiday Art and Craft Festival will be taking place in Gaithersburg, Maryland. So go ahead and check those out. Like I said, I encourage everyone to check out their local arts community if they have time. If that's something that interests them, go ahead and check that out. Moving on to the next portion of SWPAF, the P, politics. As everyone knows, I'm sure in many different states, the upcoming general election of November 2nd is coming due. And I know absentee ballots are definitely coming due very soon. I don't want to say it was this week, but it's coming up pretty soon. So I would definitely get that in if you're going to vote absentee. If not, check out your local voting registered, where you are registered to vote. And then on top of that, find out where your registry or your voting place is. And that's all I really have for politics right now, just because, you know, that's the elections are pretty big. And then moving on to finance. Got some finance news for everyone. Going to go ahead. Today we are focusing on the markets a little bit, so I'm just going to read a little bit about what's going on with the markets. So the S&P futures are at 4,520. They're down 8 points, which is 0.18%. The Dow futures are at 35,406, down 71 points, 0.2%. I shouldn't say 20%. NASDAQ futures are at 15,342.75, down 34.75 points, which is down 23%. Crude oil is at 83.06, down 0.36 points, which is 0.43%. Gold went down yesterday and is down 0.06%. What else we got going on in the markets? I'm just looking at a bunch of crypto. It's always good to, you know, look at crypto. Everyone's got their jimmies in a fix about crypto. Shout out to Shiba Swap. Hopefully everything's doing there. Bitcoin is at 65,432. Go ahead, Bitcoin. It's actually up 1%, up 1,097. And it's up actually 1.71%. So that's what's going to wrap us up for finance. And that will also wrap us up for SWPAF. Thank you very much for joining. Again, I had a really fun time this week. Those interviews with my dad and my uncle are something I'm definitely going to continue to do and continue to just talk with family and learn more about myself and learn more just about great stories about my family. It was a lot of fun. I look forward to doing that more. Next week is a very, very fun interview, and I'm not going to disclose any spoilers except for the fact it is the podcast's first professional athlete. Very excited about that. So tune in to hear that. And with that, as always, back to Winnie. You got anything? Winnie is hot to trot today. She's trying it so hard to get on the podcast. Backs are just snoozing. Lori Beth Denver didn't come back. I think that's it. So with that, thank you everyone for joining us this week. And as always, let's get to that outro music.